Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, as cracks continue to widen and the unofficial Labour Party leadership contest heats up in the UK, one of the potential candidates, Wes Streeting, has claimed that Brexit was a catastrophic mistake. To discuss the latest on this and what the consequences could be, I'm joined by political editor with the Financial Times, George Parker, and adjunct professor of economics at Trinity College Dublin, John Fitzgerald, who will have a go at telling us what this might all mean for Ireland. But George, first to you, this really set the cat amongst the pigeons, and it opens a Pandora's box that the Labour Party have for the last 10 years not wanted to touch with a barge pole.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, just generally the country hasn't wanted to touch it with a barge pole, because you'll remember very well the sort of psychodrama of Brexit, the division in communities and families, the, you know, the fact that it's dominated national debate for the best part of 5 years. So nobody's really wanted to go close to it. However, it's one issue which tends to unite large sections of the Labour Party, the idea that Brexit was a terrible mistake and we should go back into it. And you heard that being articulated by Wes Streeting, who's a wannabe Prime Minister, former Health Secretary now, at the weekend. However, it's not universally popular in the Labour Party, and for good reason, because if you look around the country and the local election results we saw just a week or so ago, Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, making massive inroads into the Labour vote in areas which voted for Brexit back in 2016. And there's a real fear that if you start talking about going back in, it just hands the next election to Nigel Farage on a plate.
Mm-hmm. And just in terms of support for rejoining the EU, and I'm sure the EU would have something to say about that if that were to be the suggestion. But it's 65% of the Labour Party would support such a move. But then the problem for the party lies with the 55% figure. That's the general population support for a return to the EU. That's a problem, isn't it?
It is. And I think the problem really is once you get beyond the headline poll numbers. So, yes, the British public generally think that Brexit was a terrible mistake. That's certainly more so amongst Labour supporters. But, and it's a big but, once you start getting into the sort of next question, well, OK, you wanted to rejoin the European Union, but do you want to go into the euro? Do you want to have free movement of people? Do you want to make big budget contributions to the Brussels budget? Once you actually start scratching beneath the surface, and then say, do you want to have another 5 years talking about this subject? Then you get slightly different answers. So I think that's the problem. And it's one of the reasons why the Deputy Prime Minister, David Lammy, said this morning that this is not a sixth form debate, you know, and we should just get on. Otherwise, the party risks descending into an internecine warfare, which will see them for sure being bundled out of office and having not a pro-European government after the next election, but Nigel Farage running number 10.
But it is risky for Wes Streeting to raise this, but there's political motivation there as well, because his big rival for Keir Starmer's job is Andy Burnham. And this is a really tricky question for him to grapple with, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it has to be seen through the prism of who comes next, if and when Keir Starmer's booted out. And it's a really difficult subject, because Andy Burnham is probably in a similar place to Wes Streeting in terms of saying that he'd like to see Britain rejoin the EU in his lifetime. The problem is, before Andy Burnham can get back to Westminster and contest this leadership, he has to win a parliamentary by-election in the seat of Makerfield, which is in Greater Manchester, which voted decisively for Brexit back in 2016, and where Reform UK won 50% of the vote in the recent by-election, in the recent council elections. So Andy Burnham, for all his being instinctively pro-European, has to win a seat in an area where they're instinctively anti-European. So he's in a difficult position. You can see Wes Streeting's trying to open up a bit of a wedge there between him and Burnham as the person who truly believes in rejoining.
Andy Burnham is giving a big speech this afternoon. It's going to be hard for him not to address this in that address.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to back away from some of his earlier comments on reversing Brexit, and he's saying it's not on the ballot paper this time. So I think he'll be trying to calm things down. But you will hear nothing but this in the run-up to the by-election we expect, which we expect on June the 18th. And as you alluded to there, it's quite interesting that people sort of talk about this without thinking the EU would have a say in this as well. So it's at the moment a very long-range thing, but playing out in real time in the heated politics of the Labour Party.
So what is the state of play with Angela Rayner? What's the thinking?
Well, Angela Rayner had been considered to be a potential leadership contender. She had a big tax dispute with the HMRC, Revenue and Customs, which has now been resolved. She had to pay some back tax, but she wasn't fined. So that theoretically could clear the way. But the expectation is that Angela Rayner will throw in her lot behind Andy Burnham, assuming that he becomes an MP next month. And that she would quite like to be Deputy Prime Minister again. The thing about Angela Rayner is that she is a divisive figure in the country. She's actually, according to the opinion polls, one of the least popular Labour politicians, just behind Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor. So she's seen as the less of a salvation for a panicking Labour Party than Andy Burnham, who seems to be the most popular Labour politician in the country.
Mm-hmm. And the Tories' reaction to this, we had a clip earlier on of Kemi Badenoch saying that this just shows that Labour doesn't have a plan. And you would imagine on the surface that they would relish the fact that Labour would go back to such a divisive topic. But looking at some analysis over the weekend of what Brexit has not achieved for the United Kingdom, if you were to sensibly look at the numbers on this, you might take a gamble politically that this is a roll of the dice worth taking.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true that you very seldom hear Conservative or Reform UK politicians talking about Brexit now, because it is perceived to have been a complete economic disaster. However, not wanting to talk about it is I think the preferred position of Kemi Badenoch and the Conservative Party. Whether they'd actually want to go into the next election talking about it and reminding everyone they campaigned for it is a slightly different thing to stepping back and watching the Labour Party having a bit of an internal battle about the whole thing.
George, thank you very much. That's George Parker from the Financial Times. I'm also joined by John Fitzgerald. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
You're listening to all of that. I see some analysis in the London Times saying that Brussels have no interest in this. They've made it abundantly clear that this conversation is over because Brussels have gone through so much to facilitate the UK leaving. But from our perspective, would it be useful for Britain to rejoin the EU?
It would be extremely valuable. It would be beneficial economically, but the real issue is Northern Ireland. If you had a reform government in the United Kingdom and they abrogated the Windsor Agreement and we had to put a border on the island between Northern Ireland and the Republic to protect the EU from imports coming from the United Kingdom, that would be disastrous. So having them in the EU would be great, but it's not going to happen. So you've got to live in the real world. It's not going to happen in the next decade.
Why?
Because the EU, having gone through a huge effort to reach an agreement with Britain and the amount of political time and focus, and we were very lucky that our partners were exceptionally helpful to us on this, having gone through that, the EU has moved on. And like the German government are focused on security. And security means securing the eastern border of the EU. So enlargement, the issue of Ukraine, the issue of the Balkans, that's the priority. And the governments, you're talking about, say, Chancellor Merz or Macron, they don't have the bandwidth to get involved in all the lengthy negotiations that would be with Britain rejoining. So I don't see it. That's not going to start in the next 5 years, possibly longer. It would be great if it did, but it's not going to happen.
You're writing about this, I think coincidentally, in the Irish Times this morning, because it only emerged in the last couple of hours that Wes Streeting is going to make this a plank of his campaign when it comes. But you make the point that the EU won't want it to look easy to jump in and out of the European Union. And that, I think, is a very valid point. It's almost making an example of Britain.
Yes, I think the example of Hungary and then of Britain, even the right-wing parties in Europe, everybody knows that a membership of the EU is vital, and that's not, so they're not going to leave. Now, obviously, the Hungarians showed they can really mess things up, But so I think also that the UK history, it's not just that they left, but there were there was another debate in 1975, 2 years after they joined, as to whether they would leave or not. And actually, it was during an Irish presidency, and the Irish government was helpful in achieving a resolution which kept them in the EU at that meeting. That Harold Wilson and Callaghan were in Dublin, mm-hmm. And that's where it was settled. But so the UK has history of wanting to be in, wanting to be out. And I think they would need to show a decisive majority and intention to rejoin before the EU would start to take them seriously.
Yeah, but and, you know, the EU can't be seen to be facilitating jumping in and out on a whim or depending on which way the political wind is blowing.
No. And, like, if you negotiated with a Labour Party government and the UK rejoined, but then the government changed and they'd leave, it's got to be a decisive decision by the people of Britain. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I don't think they're decisive about anything other than the fact they're in a mess.
And haven't been for quite some time. But just, I know what you said about Northern Ireland and the potential of reform, and I understand that completely. But from an economic point of view, apart from those issues in relation to Northern Ireland, would it be of a huge benefit to us here in the Republic?
It would be of benefit. One of the things that happened when because of Brexit was, until Brexit, Marks and Spencers, a lorry came every day or every 2 days to their shops all over Ireland from their warehouse in Britain, delivering the goods. They then had to, that became exceptionally difficult and expensive, raising the costs because of Brexit. Because if you have a lorry which has shirts and it has ties, although probably not many ties these days, and food in it, all of them would have, you had a separate form clearing that through customs. So essentially, like Lidl and Aldi had to set up warehouses in Ireland to distribute within Ireland, which made it more expensive. So prices went up relative to England and Wales as a result of Brexit. So having an integrated single market would be good for us, and prices would be slightly lower as a result, and it'd be much easier for small Irish exporters to export to Britain rather than having to deal with all sorts of forms. So it'd be good for us. It would not be a game changer, but I think the political issues of having the UK in are much more important than the economic issues.
And pie in the sky, you say too. It just can't and probably won't be done.
I would love to see it happen.
Would you?
But and I'm an optimist, but I'm not that optimistic. I hope to live to see the day, but I'm afraid it's a bit off.
Well, when it comes to UK politics, you never know what's around the corner. That's what we've learned in the last number of years. John, thanks for being with us. John Fitzgerald there, Adjunct Professor of Economics at Trinity. Now, some good news on the way to us this week, we believe, on the weather front. Carlo Weathers' Alan O'Reilly is with us. Now, Alan, after that introduction, you better have good news.
Well, I better stay with the good news in the longer term. We'll come back to the short term then. I'm guessing, Claire, the Leaving Cert is starting next week because we have some Leaving Cert weather coming towards us. We're finally going to see that cold air that has kept us well below normal temperatures for the first half of May move away, and we're going to have some warmer air moving up. So the weekend at the moment is looking like we will see 20 degrees in many parts, maybe even up to 22, 23 degrees by Sunday. And there is a good chance of some good sunshine on Sunday. So, you know, to get you through the week, Claire, think about the fact that the weekend is going to be warmer and Sunday is looking like a lovely day. And into the early days of next week, when we do see the Leaving Cert start, we are likely to see temperatures stay above 20 degrees here in Ireland. So certainly it is going to be warmer. There's always a but, though, Claire, when it comes to Irish weather. And we do have more rain on the way first. So we have rain moving up from the south today. And we have more rain again tomorrow, Tuesday. Very showery Tuesday. Wednesday, then, we will start to see it feel warmer. But we still have some showers to come. And Thursday, actually, it'll feel a bit unusual because it'll be dull. It'll be damp. But it'll actually feel very humid. So the good news about Thursday is the rain will be warmer, Claire.
Warmer rain on Thursday. And then into the sunshine. Because it has been a bit weird. Like, it's looked lovely over the last little while. Sun has been out, but it's been really cold.
It has been very cold. That northerly wind has meant, exactly as you say, we haven't had a lot of rain for the first half of May, and we've had some good sunny spells. And if you're sitting inside looking out through the window, you're like, oh, that looks lovely. And then you go outside and you get blown out of it, and the wind chill has made it feel bitterly cold. And a lot of people have been messaging me on Instagram with pictures of the fire lighting and, you know, talking about putting on the big coat. So it has been unusually cooler. It's not one of those things where it's just perception, that the average temperature shows that it has been cooler than average, but it has been drier than average as well. So, you know, there is going to be a big change now. And if you're heading away to parts of Spain, they're really going to see, you know, temperatures climb into the mid 30s, maybe even the high 30s, because much of Europe has been colder than average for the last week or so. And it's going to go from being below average to well above average. So if you're heading on your holidays, you want to prepare for some real heat, which will feel like a huge change given what we've had in Ireland.
So those people who've been coming home from the Mediterranean, and we, the rest of us sitting here in work, and they've been complaining about how cold it is, we won't have to put up with that anymore. They'll have the lovely week with the warm sunshine in the Med. And for us, it's the weekend. Once we get through the warm rain on Thursday, we have a lovely weekend ahead, Alan.
Pretty much that's it. The only thing you'll find is the people coming home from the Mediterranean will now be complaining about it being too hot, Claire.
Let them off. Let them off. We don't care, Alan. We just want to see a bit of warm sunshine at the weekend. Thanks so much. That's Alan O'Reilly there from Carlow Weather. A listener says, the EU will be under pressure. It'll be like the PGA and LIV Golf. Britain will be welcomed back with open arms with a bit of a fine. Well, let's see what happens.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.